Luke chapter 2, you would recall our Lord is 12 years old at this point. This is the first notice we have in the record that God gives us. And picking up, if I can, in verse 48, "And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Now that's the stepfather, Joseph. The Lord Jesus answers. Verse 49, "Then he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist," that's the word know, W-I-S-T, "wist ye not, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Did you not know that?" And that's not Joseph. That's God. And our Lord Jesus Christ, as remember when we did this the other day, is very, very conscious, and they should have been, for up to that point at 12 years old, they knew very well that Joseph wasn't related at all. They knew the Lord Jesus Christ at 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old. Had a very unique, special relationship to God. Now, and you'll notice it says, my father's business, the things that concern my father. Now, holding that word, father, I'd like to go and try to help. Do you understand? Do you know why it says father? Over to 1 John. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, where we have been in a study of the Gospel of John. And we have reached the point in chapter 4 where he has his first encounter on his way to Galilee with the woman at the well. And in the process, we studied and have, may I just repeat the verses, chapter 4 and verse 23. I'll read verse 22. "Ye worship, ye know not what." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The Samaritans were missing out on God, personal relationship to God. "But the hour cometh," and now is, right now, the Lord there sitting at the well with the woman, "when the true worshipers shall worship the Father." They're going to worship the Father. How? In spirit and in truth. Why are they going to worship the Father in spirit and truth? "For the Father seeketh," present tense, the verb, "to watch," to search after. God is looking for, diligently searching after, verse 23, "the Father seeketh such to worship him." The Father is looking at humanity and looking for humanity to honor him, to recognize him, to appreciate him in all of his wonderful being as the Father. Now, having said that, verse 24, "God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." So, in the light of that, we've got to honor God and know God, and we've got to communicate. God's looking for communication from humans, that they would understand who he is, and that they would worship him in spirit and truth. And thus, spirit kind of life, the kind of life that is required. You have to have life in order to live. True? How are you going to live if you don't have life? You don't. How could you tune in on the radio, the tuner? How could you tune in FM if you don't have it? You could turn the knob, push the buttons. If it isn't on the radio, no matter what you do, you cannot pick up FM. You can't do it. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. John chapter 3, for a moment. You'll remember we shared together. John chapter 3 and in verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That," verse 6, "which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." When you have FM, FM is FM, AM is AM. The flesh is the flesh, always the flesh. God is spirit, and God makes possible a unique personal relationship to him. It is a spiritual relationship. And the Spirit of God applies, appropriates, and exercises all of the wonderful truth that God made possible for you and for me in his death on the cross, made possible for us to have that truth, to enjoy that truth in a real and right way. Now, so we have to have spiritual life. Now, if you are reading the Gospel of John, reading the 21 chapters, and you are reading it, and as you read it, you would find the word Father 118 times anyway, referring to God. The word Father is used more than that. But 118 times it is used about God the Father. 118 times. Now, in the light of that, and the light of the word Father that you're looking at, worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In the light of that, you want to think of the word Father, the creator, the originator, the author, the owner, someone who brings forth something out of nothing, as it were, who originates. He's the originator. And in the process, he has, as Father, total ownership. He has unquestioned authority. Now, so here's the word Father. Now, in order to tackle this and get a little window to look through, go with me, please, over to Isaiah 63. Isaiah chapter 63. In the days, remember, Assyria is coming to take over the 10 tribes in the north, and Isaiah is helping them and looking into the future for the Babylonian captivity to follow. If I may go to Isaiah 63, verse 15. Here's the remnant, here's the believing heart looking. Here's unbelief everywhere among the Israelites. And here's a handful of people that are aware that there's a difference and there should be difference, and Israel is leaving God out. You must put God into the picture, have him in the picture. Chapter 63, 15. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal? Thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels, thy inner being, the heart, etc., and of thy mercies toward me, are they restrained? Question. Doubtless, verse 16, thou art our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, we're way down the line from Abraham. He didn't know about us. And Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. God, it's obvious, you're the Father. Chapter 64, Isaiah, in verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, the maker. We all are the work of thy hand. God, you are the total one. You have the total ownership. You are the creator. We are the created. You are the author. You are the originator of our being. You are the source of our being. Over, if you would, please, to Malachi. As you come to the end of the Old Testament, again, Israel needed to acknowledge God, and they did not acknowledge him, and they did not honor him as their father. Malachi, last book in the Old Testament in your King James, not the last book in your Bible. Malachi chapter 1, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you? O priest that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. You are not recognizing the holy, righteous person of God in a way to honor him. You are actually dishonoring him. Now, in the process of that, keeping in mind, if you would, and you may want it while you're right here in Malachi. Malachi chapter 2 and in verse 10, the people, they were not honoring him as their father. Verse 10, have we not all one father, speaking of the people? Verse 1, chapter 2, the priest. And then it goes on to tell you the priests weren't honoring God. Then you come to verse 10, the people aren't honoring God. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Then why do ye deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning and making common the covenant of our fathers? And now if you keep reading, they had made other gods, other systems, other kinds of persons, things, they have made them the source, the origin of their being, just like the Gentiles, the world does, has all kinds of religious comings and goings to recognize and give them some basis for being on planet Earth. Why am I created? Why am I here? Where am I going? And they have all this. Israel, God is the Father. And you have made all of these things the source, the reason. You're looking to them as fathers, as if they gave you origin, as if they made you who you are, as if they were the creator. Now, having said that, over, if you would, please, to chapter 9 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. And you would note their idolatry, Malachi 2:10. You would remember, if you would, in John 8, that they said, Abraham is our father. And the Lord Jesus corrected them. Now it's true in the flesh, but in your heart, the devil is your father. The devil is your father. You're looking to him for your origin and your safety because you left God out, and there's only one God and only one Savior. Isaiah chapter 9, and in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, then the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What are we going to call the Messiah, the Christ, the King? He is all of those, and you want to make a little mental note, verse 9, he is the Everlasting Father. He is the Everlasting Father. Now, he is. Now, hang on to that. Over, if you would, in your Bible, back over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And, if I may, chapter 1, and in verse 1, you know, we did it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And that Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, then, and the Word was made flesh, physical born, a child is born, a son is given, a physical body was given him, perfect humanity, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth, begotten of the Father. Now, you mean, you're the Everlasting Father, all right? And you came, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he is the only begotten, the unique expression, unique one of the Father. Verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. He is the invisible, infinite God. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom, the chest, inside, the heart, where everything, all the vital organs. Verse 18. Which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, he hath brought him out and given him expression, exposure. The Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity exposes God. In particular, he exposes God the Father. Now, in the process of that, he expresses the fullness of God. The fullness of God is brought out, how so? By God the Son. God the Son points to God the Father. God the Holy Spirit points to God the Son, who points to God the Father. All of this is to point to God. If we're going to talk about the wonderful fullness of God, in all of his essence, in all of his nature, in all of his name, etc., etc., how are we going to honor you, God? Father. Father, and when I speak to you, God, Father, it brings all of your wonderful presence, fullness to the front. Not Son, not God the Holy Spirit, which are all you. It's you. You are the Father of all of creation. You are the source and originator. You aren't just a maker, a carpenter, a bricklayer. You are Father. All of creation needs to know you are the Father. Now hang on to that. Father. Why do you emphasize? The Father seeketh such to worship him. Father. A word. A wonderful word. Now, having said that, overview, and you know, without turning there, Matthew 28:19, we are to baptize, to immerse, to identify believers in the name singular of the Father, the Greek, of the Son, the Greek, of the Spirit of God. One name, Father, Son, God the Holy Spirit. One name, one nature, one essence. And we're to understand, we are brought into a unique personal relationship to God. And we are to understand God, our Creator, as Father. Hang on. Now, over in your Bible, in the light of that, John chapter 5. John chapter 5, picking up, please, verse 17, 5 and 17. Our Lord Jesus Christ, perfect humanity, perfect God, going all the way to the cross. Verse 17, chapter 5, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father. And when you said that, the Jews, unsaved Jews, they didn't have any problem with who he was and what he said. The end of verse 18, making himself equal with whom? God. The Word become flesh. God. They understood that. They aren't even saved. They're in the AM, no FM. And they understood what he said. Wow. Now, again, over if you would, chapter 10. Chapter 10. And in verse 30. I and my Father are one. Verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Why is that? Because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. You made yourself God. They understood that. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods, in Psalm 82. Did I not say you were gods? And the judges of Israel, the rulers of Israel, were given authority by God to exercise God's will and God's word, and they were given that. And they were called gods, little g. They had divine, God-given authority. Verse 25. If he called them gods, and God honored them for their exercised position, unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified, set apart, and sent into the world. Thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. You're going to go and sanction me because I said I'm the Son of God? And you already, why are you doing that? You have no right to stone me. You wouldn't stone one of your judges or rulers that are called and have authority from God. Why would you stone me? Because I said I'm the Son of God? That's no reason. You can't stone me because I said I have authority and power. Verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Understand, I do the works as in perfect humanity. I represent God in a most perfect way. Now, having said that, And keeping that in mind, if you would, over in chapter 10, go back to chapter 5 for a moment. Chapter 5. The works that I do, the works that come from God. So, verse chapter 5, did you say it? Verse 36. But I have a greater witness than that of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me. They are my credentials. No one can do this except God. All of this is out from heaven. God, FM, it's all from God. Verse 36. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you do not believe. I came to represent God so that you would see God, invisible, infinite God, human, so you could relate to God in a more concrete way. And you reject me. You say it's blasphemy when I say I am God. My Father, I and my Father are one. Now, over, in the light of that, over to chapter 14, and by the way, while you're still there in chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, 5 and 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. I want you to have life, but you won't come to me, and you're calling me just a blasphemer, an unbeliever, because I said I am God. God can't become, well, God created us like this. And God, wonderfully, Hebrews 10, a body is prepared for him and born in Bethlehem of Judea, so that we could understand God, that God could go and pay the price, because God can't die. But God infusing himself into the line of Adam in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, is able to bring to all humanity his wonderful saving grace if we would but receive it. Now, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, may I pick up in thought, chapter 14, verse 1, lift up your heart, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to prepare a place for you in heaven, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Now, that's in my Father's house. Well, boy, don't you have to be related to be in the Father? Are we a servant in the Father's house? How do we get into the Father's house legitimately? Over, if you would, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, chapter 14, verse 6. Thomas, remember, I'll read verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, in other words, he's going to heaven, how are we going to get there? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't come unto the Father except by me. I am my Father, the one. If you leave me out, how are you going to get to the Father? Unitarianism? What do you want to try? Get to God? You can't do that. Never work. No, you got to go through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father. Also, from henceforth, you know him and have, remember what you read in John 5, no one has seen him. No one has seen him. He's invisible, infinite God. But, verse 7, also, and from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, we'll be satisfied. Verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and thou hast not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me, what? Hath seen the Father. I and my Father are one. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. I, in perfect humanity, in perfect submission, in a perfect relationship, allow God to be perfectly God. For I am created, humans are created to demonstrate God's wonderful, wonderful person, to show forth for his honor and his glory who he is. That's what I'm here for. Now, hang on. And in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. If nothing else, believe me for all the things. You look at them, see them, recognize them. Man doesn't do this. The devil doesn't do this. God does this. The works ought to point and be evidence out of me. Where are you getting this, Lord? Well, from the Father. I and my Father are one. Wonderfully, wonderfully one. John chapter 15. Oh, and by the way, we should go back there. I don't mean to do that fast. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go to my Father. Remember Acts chapter 1, verse 8? You shall receive power after the whole. What are we going to do? It isn't quality, not improved quality. Quantity. Believers are to represent the work of God, the evidence, outwork, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. As all of that expresses itself, you'll do quantity, way more works, every way you go. You will demonstrate who I am. Now, over in chapter 15 and in verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. A unique personal relationship, the vine and the branch, like a tree. Verse 8. When that relationship is truly functional and exercised, herein is my Father glorified. Not I'm glorified, my Father's glorified. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And we're going to go and evidence, you're going to go and evidence by your works, by the outworking of God's goodwill, you're going to go and evidence God's saving grace, and God is going to be glorified by the works of the Father. The works of the Father, you know, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit of God, love, joy, peace, etc. All of that is going to point to what? The God of peace, the God of joy, the God of love, going to point to God. What God?
God the Father.
Where did it all come from? God the Father. Now, having said that, over if you would please to verse 16, 15 and 16. You have not chosen me. You didn't choose me, but I have chosen you. Now, no one anywhere originated or thought up how to be saved. No one thought the plan up. No one can execute the plan. No one. Adam and Eve, all you can do is receive God's grace as sinners. That's what you can do. Who originated even the thought of creation? God did. Who's the one that allowed for sin? God did. Who's the one that made provision for the sinner? God did. Who's the one that saved him? The Lord Jesus Christ, who had come to the cross and pay the penalty. Now, in chapter 15, verse 16, God said, "You did not choose me for your benefit. I chose you for my benefit. I'm the one that came and said, whosoever believeth. I'm the one that said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'm the one that invites you for my benefit, because I created you for it. Now, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." That's right. Produce. "And that your fruit should remain in time eternity. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." How can we come? We've got to come to God on the basis of a unique relationship. With God, we're going to come to you and ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to ask that. Thus, God, John chapter 14 again. John chapter 14. And in John 14, the fruit, remember, the vine, the branch, obviously the branch cannot produce fruit if it isn't tied to the trunk of the tree, as it were. Our reason for being is to produce fruit, a unique relationship to God the Father. John chapter 14, and remember we said about the works, the quantity of the works are to bear witness. John chapter 14, verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. So our Lord said, I will manifest myself to him. But there's more than that. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, how is it that thou wilt manifest, make yourself clear, plain, to be seen? How will you manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode, our abiding place. John 14, 2. I have an abiding place in my Father's house, and he is an abiding place in the believing heart. We, plural, the Son and the Father, will come unto him, the believing heart, and make our abode, plural, make our abode with the believing heart. I and my Father will make our abode in that believing heart. He that loveth me not keepeth not my saying. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Why are we going to honor the word of God? Because God has given us his word, and we ought to be the possessors and the owner of God's wonderful word. And we're able to abide, and the word abides in our heart. Christ abides, we abide, him in us and us in him, in his word. And we have a unique personal ownership of that. Now, over please, in your Bible, in the light of that, Verse O, over to chapter 20 while you're in John, to tie it together. John chapter 20. Remember Mary Magdalene? She's the first one to see him after his resurrection. And being a woman, etc. Verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, when she recognized, she said, have you seen my master? And when he said that, verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, because she recognized the voice, which is to say, Master. And she got so excited that he was not dead. She was looking for a place where they took him, empty tomb, and here he is standing in front of her, and she hugged him. Cling to him. Cling, the word. Hold on to him. You can understand that. She held him. Wow. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not. Stop. It's a command. Stop clinging to me. Not, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, which he does, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. He doesn't say our. He says, your God and my God, not our. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man. The God-man is able to save you. That's a whole different relationship. My God, your God. My Father, your Father. Now, with the light in the light of that, we'll review it. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect humanity, had a perfect relationship to God. And in Mark chapter 14, picking up, please, if I can, the Garden of Gethsemane, you know. May I go directly there? Verse 36. He saith, the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, Abba, Father, the Hebrew, the Greek, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. My Father, Abba, Hebrew, Greek, Father. Use both. Hebrew, the Greek, that's where the Greek word comes from, the Hebrew word. Father, the originator, the source. Abba, Father. Now, we mentioned a moment ago that in the process that he could come. Now, how can we come into the Father's house? What relationship do we have in the Father's house? Over, if you would, please, to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And you will pick up, please, quickly. You'll catch it. God the Holy Spirit does something wonderful when we get saved. And in chapter 4, Galatians, and in verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, full sons, brought into a relationship as a full son, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, present tense, crying, what is he going to do? Spirit of God, what's the whole thing? The Father seeketh such to worship him. What are you going to do with me? You're going to help me understand to be able to say my first words, Father, Abba, Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ made it possible for us to say, Abba, Father. Wow. Father. The Spirit of God is going to help me. I didn't pick up that word. I have no right to say that word in and of myself. But in the Spirit of God's ministry, applying the person and work of Jesus Christ, when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, He made you a child of God. He made you, Romans 8, a son of God. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, may I pick up again. So when the Spirit of God comes in and teaches us, what are little children? You have to say daddy or mommy or whatever you teach them, father. And the little kid, what's the kid supposed to do? He picks up the language. He doesn't know it. He doesn't understand it all. But he gets a word. He gets a word that relates to a person. No way to put it together yet, but he get it. Father, God, what are you going to do to help us when we're born again? Come to know you as our Savior. To be able to say, Abba, Father, Father. And the Spirit of God is going to keep saying it like you would as a parent. And we, children, sons. Chapter 8 and in verse 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption to be placed as sons in the family of God, whereby we cry. We are present tense. We are crying as the Spirit of God is confirming it. Abba, Father. He says it. I say it. Abba, Father. My Father. My Father. My Father. Boy, that's, you know, and we say God is God. Isn't it something awesome, though? People have the world, they're gods, little g. You have God, the only God and the only Savior. And how are we supposed to know Him? As our Father. Family, relationship, very privileged. There's all kinds of men in the world. But I have one father. I did have, humanly. God said, call no man father in the light of who he is. Don't call any man father. You only have one father. Only one. Wow. Now, in comparison. So now, without turning there, what do you know if you went to the book of Matthew? Your Father knoweth. Why not turn there? You aren't going to lose a thing. Matthew. Very personal. Father. So when I talk to God and you talk to God, if you're saved, my Father. Very personal. Very close. Very complete. I don't know about whether someone else cares, but when it comes to my Father, I know my Father is supposed to care. And God cares. Father, that's a big word, beautiful word. Thus, over and over again, in looking at the Sermon on the Mount, looking, if you want God to reign, you're going to go, what if the whole world were to honor God back then? They would have to recognize God as Father. And what would they be able to say? Chapter 6, verse 8. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your heavenly Father knoweth what things you need of before you ask Him. Your heavenly Father knows. Verse 26. Your heavenly Father knows. Your heavenly Father feeds. That's right. Fathers take care. They're better. Aren't you better than a bird? Aren't you better than birds? I don't know. Maybe you're not. Maybe a pigeon's more valuable than you are, you see. Parrot. You see. Wow. So you keep reading and you keep reading. Your Father, your heavenly Father feeds. Your heavenly Father knows. Verse 31, 32. God knows all about us, our heavenly Father. And you know that God said, I care. And your heavenly Father knows. He knows about every bird that falls to the ground. Matthew chapter 10. He knows every hair. Your Father knows every hair on your head. Your Father knows that. No one else knows it. You don't even know it. And now I know someone say you can count them, but I don't know anyone that has one hair left. Your Father knows every hair on your head. So, God, what are you looking for? I'm looking for such to worship me as Father, as their Father. And you know what louses it up? Us human fathers. Because us human fathers fall so far short of what could be. And we relate men and fathers to humans. And we got a problem when it comes to God the Father, because we try to bring him down to where we are. And boy, do we lose out. Wow. My Father. Wonderful. My Father and God, we look to you to deal with us. We thank you for your grace and mercy and kindness. God, thank you. Thank you for caring. Thank you for an ever-present reminder that we are not to forget. We are not to put aside our relationship to you in the person of Jesus Christ that allows you and allows us to enjoy each other, Father and Son, a Son in the light of the Son. God, thank you very, very much. Deal with our head and our heart. Thank you, my Father. Thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the basis, his wonderful relationship to you, our Father, that makes our wonderful relationship to him valid. And our God will thank you very, very much as he does for us and is for us what we cannot be. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we can sing a stanza, please. 564. 564, the first and last stanza. 564.